life that's available through the cross. That song captures that beautifully. So thank you, worship team. All right. Well, my name is Ron. I didn't say that before, but good to have you here. Good to have you with us this morning. As I alluded to just briefly in my comments prior to communion, we're completing as a congregation a month-long January focus. We've called it Reset, based on a devotional book that we've been using of the same name. And many of you have been doing that. It was a challenge to spend 20 minutes a day in prayer and time with the Lord for 20 days. So we've reached the completion of that as of Friday. So our morning is going to be a morning of just reflecting on that, some testimony, celebration together. Just a couple things before we get into that. Let's see, I'll need this. The first thing is you might have noticed a young man sitting over here this morning or standing over here this morning providing sign language. And I don't know how to interrupt you, but I need to interrupt you because I want to talk to him. So come on up, Lewis. Now, some of you know, here, you can hold that. Some of you know Lewis. This is Lewis Meyer. His wife, Shonda, has now moved into the signing chair there. And Lewis and his wife have led a deaf ministry in our building every Sunday for how long now?
It's 8 years now.
It's 8 years now. Okay. Here, do I have that?
Is that on?
Yeah, it's on. Yeah. So 8 years. I'm sure many of you are aware of that, meeting over in the youth room every Sunday morning. Deaf Community Fellowship, right, was the name of the ministry. And
is that on? Can you hear me?
Okay. Is that coming through? Okay. For 8 years, Lewis and his wife, Shonda, have been leading this ministry. And you would see Lewis sometimes here. We would have him here. He would be here for a Christmas Eve service or something, providing signing and things like that. But God is moving you from one season into another. So I just wanted you to share briefly about that. We can pray with you this morning. But God is actually moving you out of this geographical area. So just give us a little bit of that story.
Yeah. Last year, we were really feeling that the Lord was asking us to move, which was a big challenge for me because it's not something that I tend to just kind of stay with and keep going until the Lord really tells us. We don't let our circumstances guide that, but the Lord needs to guide us. And we were kind of faced with a situation. We said, well, we're just going to take this to prayer. And the Lord opened up an opportunity for us to move back with family in Kansas. And there are so many unknowns that we don't know right now, where the Lord is going to lead us in ministry, how he's going to use us. We have some ideas that we're kind of playing around with, but we're not sure exactly what that means. It's really going to be a time of season, I think, right now for me to focus on my family. And
Yeah. And the family connection is what?
It's the place where Shonda grew up. Okay. So she, like, knows everybody, and I don't know anybody, which is kind of odd. So hopefully I can get myself acclimated to that.
Yeah. So this will be a blessing to Shonda to get back close to her family and her people, so to speak. So, so the deaf ministry that's been meeting in our building here for these 8 years is ceasing now, and right. You're still seeking God as to what that all looks like. As we are as well. And then, as you say, you're not quite sure yet what ministry, because I know Lewis and Shonda share a heart for ministry to people that have hearing impaired, hearing impairment, and I'm sure that will remain with you. That'll continue. So the picture on the center screen behind us ties into like everything we're doing this morning. I thought it was kind of a unique picture, but isn't this true in life? Whenever we reach a finish line, unless it's the ultimate finish line. but even that's a starting point too, right? But whenever you reach a finish line doubles as a starting line because when you finish one thing, there's always something next. There's always the next season, the next chapter, whatever. So that's where you're standing right now. We're almost up on the finish line here in Pennsylvania, And then there's a whole new start in Kansas that lie ahead for you guys.
Right, and I really wanted to take this time also to thank Living Hope here, because you've really been, you've really provided a way of ministry that allowed us to be able to have the ministry here. Otherwise, we're not sure really what we would have done next. And I want to thank you, Ron, personally. I mean, you really took a lot of time with me when we were leaving one ministry and searching where God wanted us next. Really, the ministry here enveloped us and gave us a place to kind of reset our lives at that point. And we're very appreciative of that. You've been very generous in that, providing a place where, you know, we didn't have to be financially concerned with where we were going to be having this deaf church. Second thing I want to do is I want to encourage you. It's an encouragement to me to see Lisa here. I'll tell you a little bit of a story. For years, we had the deaf church over here. Lisa bypassed that deaf church to come here. And it always just kind of, what's this all about? You know, we got sign language over here, but there was kind of a fear for her for communication. But I'll tell you what, you reached out to her in an area that we didn't, and that is in relationships. And it goes to show something, that relationships even trump linguistic barriers. And I want to thank you for your outreach, because Lisa is one of the fruits of your labor. Now later we were able to kind of co-take that ministry together, but had it not been for you, she wouldn't have just came to the deaf church. She came here first because people loved on her and wanted to have a relationship with her. And that's really what it comes down to, is relationships. Don't stop that. Don't stop that. Keep going. I want to encourage you in that. And so as our season here in Lancaster ends, I would just ask that you pray for us. Faith sometimes requires us to step out into the unknown. There are so many unknowns right now, it's really scary for us. I'm not sure what I'm going to be doing for a job. This whole selling of the house and moving and everything, I'll tell you, I don't think I ever want to move again. I don't know if ever you've been through a situation like that. It's like, I don't desire that.
Yeah.
It's just placed a lot of stresses in family. And so just be praying for us that we would be seeking the Lord's guidance, and he would be specific with us at the time that it needs to be specific, and otherwise we'll just kind of take those steps in faith. And, you know, sometimes we experience some of the unbelief along the way of the stresses, and, you know, it's often, Lord, help my unbelief. Mm-hmm. And
I get it. Yeah. Well, let me pray for you, and pray for Lewis and Shonda as you think of them. It looks like your settlement, is it still on potentially for Monday, the settlement on your home? I know it's been kind of bouncing a little bit.
It's been postponed a whole lot of times, and so Monday we're just kind of like, well, Lord, if you want it to happen on Monday, it'll happen on Monday.
The thought is, within the next few days, they will settle on their home, and then once they do that, then they'll be making the trip out west.
That's right.
So, Father, thank you for this journey that you've allowed us in our small way to share with Lewis and Shonda and with this ministry to deaf and hard of hearing individuals. God, we pray for them that you would just provide what they need, show them the steps as they need to be taken. God, of course, we want to see like 30 steps ahead or 100 or a million steps ahead. We like that, but many of us can testify that that's not normally the way you do things. And so I pray for Lewis and Shonda for their faith to remain strong as they are taking this step of faith, following this call to the West. And I pray, God, that you would just give them a peace of, even when there are questions, that they would experience your peace that is greater than or that surpasses understanding. So where understanding or being able to figure everything out is lacking, God, help them to find and to treasure the peace that you bring that's even greater than that. So guide them through each step. Bless them, bless their family. Allow things to come together in a peaceful and prosperous way for them. So we commit them to you. We commit this ministry to you that Lewis will likely be re-engaging in some way at some point. He's just waiting for direction on that as well. So we lift them up to you this morning. We pray in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. All right.
And I don't think you probably heard The Last of Us either. So.
Yeah, I hope not. All right, thank you, Lewis. Yes,
you bet.
Two other things, really quickly. The one is just a reminder. You see the connection card in the insert in your program. Again, this is an opportunity for you not only to get your name on the directory if you want that, or at least if you provide us with an email address, you will be then in the loop on email, church communication, that kind of thing. So yeah, again, to the youth, if you would like to see things like that come into your inbox, this is an opportunity to do that. Secondly, I just wanted to highlight another announcement in the program. I mentioned very briefly last week the email that you received, if you're on our email list, about changes that are coming up in our youth ministry. And again, this picture is fitting, this picture in the middle, because as an elder team, we really believe that God is saying that Mike and Claudia are reaching this finish line for their particular role they're serving in right now in youth ministry. And I get it. That decision has to seem odd. First of all, because I cannot express to you how much we love this couple. They have become so dear to us and so precious to us. And we have walked through this journey of trying to sense, God, what are you doing in their lives? And so I know there's questions, but we wanted to give opportunity just to share our hearts, have Mike and Claudia share. So we've scheduled a time, not tomorrow night, but next Monday night. I think it's the 5th. Is that right? Yeah, Monday night the 5th. Here at the church. So, you know, anyone has questions, if you want to hear more of the story, more of the backstory, there is a backstory. We take decisions like this very seriously. So, you know, we'd be happy to share with you. And we want Mike and Claudia to be able to share any questions you have. You can ask us that night. I mean, you can ask us other than that night, obviously, but we thought it might be some benefit in gathering for that. So that happens a week from tomorrow night here at the church. So I think that's it. I think that's it. Let's get into this celebration for this January reset. So is your reset finished now? Hopefully the picture in the picture on the side, that's cool, right? Finish line, yes, the race is over, we're done, we've reached that point. But keep looking at the one in the center too. I've referenced the one in the center several times. If you're listening on podcast, the picture I'm talking about is just kind of a winding country road, and there's a line drawn across the road. And as you approach the line, the word printed on the road is finished. But immediately on the other side of the line is the word start. So it's communicating, the picture is communicating that any point, or this particular point, while in one sense it's a finish point, it's also a start point. So what I'd like to start with, and a key part of the morning, I have some things to share, but I don't have a whole sermon prepared or anything like that. A key part of the morning, I would like to be hearing from you what January has been like, what this reset has been like for you. So let me put up here, let's start with these two questions. I have a few questions that I'll kind of interweave through the morning, but we can start with this one. And again, we're going to start here with just general responses. Anything you want to share. I'm curious, though, like if there are those of you, maybe this is the first time you've tried something this structured, like a specific prayer time, 20 minutes a day, 20 days, following a particular devotional. Was that the first time for you? What was it like? What was the hardest part? What did you learn? Here's another question we could throw in at this point. Which of the 20 daily themes challenged you the most? Now, there was a different theme every day. And I heard the remark that, you know, after a while, it's like, wow, I can only take so much. It's like drinking from a fire hose, because every one of them really could take a lot of time. So So let's just get started. I'm just kind of curious to hear some feedback. What was the month like for you? What was God showing you? How did he challenge you? I'd ask you to keep your comments on the brief side. I'd like to hear from as many as possible. So what we're going to do, Mary is going to come forward, and she is going to hold this microphone. Whoops, sorry, I pulled it out. Now, there you go. There you go. She's going to hold this one down on the floor there, and I'm going to come down on the floor here. We will ask you to at least come forward this far, depending which side of the room you're sitting in. So I say this every time. It takes one brave person to kind of kick this off. But what do you have to share, just in general, about the month? What was it like for you? How did God challenge you? How did he bless you? What did he teach you? Who wants to start? Okay.
Good morning.
You can come on up and wait while another person's speaking. Sorry, Veronica.
Okay. This month for me has really been transformative just in making the commitment to say, I am going to do this every day and I am going to talk to God every day. For me, the most challenging thing that really started to change my heart a lot was the obedience theme. Because as I was reading through that chapter, I was just like affirming, yes, God, like I want to obey you. I want to be doing what you're telling me to do. And the Holy Spirit in that like irritatingly gentle, but also like really heavy push on your heart was like, you know, you've never actually walked in like real obedience to me. And so I was like, whoa, okay, you're right. And just thinking about it, God revealed to me, like, there is liberation that comes through obedience. Mm-hmm. And a verse that came to me on that day that I was reading about it is from Psalm 119, and it says, there is a limit to man-made perfection, but the precepts of God have no confinement. And I was just blown away by that. Like, there is no bound to what you can do when you are obeying God. And if you try to do it on your own and through your own flesh, you will get stopped and you'll reach a point where you can't keep going. But with God, there's just so much freedom. And so I've been experiencing that freedom. And I hope that the same happens for all of you as well.
All right. Who else? Who else wants to share?
Hi, I'm Althea, and I really enjoyed, actually, the reset. I'm less structured of a person, so I always read the Word, I talk to the Lord, but I kind of do it on my time, and the challenge for me of this was I decided I would do it in the mornings, and that was a challenge, because the mornings for me usually is the time I take to do my charts and finish up stuff for work, and I kind of committed to doing it before doing anything, and I'd love to say that my inbox became really low. It didn't. But what was good was that it really, I felt, opened up many opportunities for my interactions with patients and just being more sensitive to them and praying for them. And so it really was a huge blessing for the month. And so the challenge for me was just to continue in the mornings and beyond the reset. And so I kind of look forward to that.
All right. Thank you. Just by a raise of hands, how many of you struggled with the time of day thing? Like, is that a challenge for you? I know that's not uncommon at all. The one day that he talked about time, and Molly and I talked about this a bit, he said, find the time of day that works best for you. Well, the problem is, what if that's the middle of the day when you're at work? I mean, what do you do? I mean, it's not a super simple formula, but it is something we have to press in and try to figure out when we connect with God best. Okay, who else? Anybody else? Come on, Michael. And you can come on up front if you have something. Just wait your turn. You can decide whether to go right or left. You got the sheep and the goats, and I'm not going to tell you. Come on, come over here. Come on over here. Sorry. Here, I'll hold this if you're going to read.
Yes, excuse me.
Back up just a little bit.
I've been doing things a little differently than what the book was saying. I was following the book during the time, during 20 days, but God has been speaking to me other ways. I do have a habit of praying to God and looking for his guidance, and I'm going through some uncertain times during the middle of all of this. And so I'd like to read a passage out of Matthew chapter 16, verses 24 through 26, which says, then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? That spoke to me of two worlds. The self that we're denying to is our flesh. And the open life that we're acknowledging and receiving is the spirit. We cannot live for Christ, for God, and our life, what we do in the world as human beings in the flesh becomes empty and meaningless when we're gone. And we're in a world where we're not going to like it very much, but be suffering for eternity. But when you have the Spirit of God living within you and coming into your life and guiding you what you want to do, as he's been showing me, this is the beginning of a series of things. This actually began last Thursday for me, this part of it. And that the power of God is to be exhibited in our life. And remember, anything we do for God, we never do alone. We do through the power of Jesus Christ within us and through the power of the Holy Spirit that exists within our bodies, within our spirit. So you got to stop listening to the old man and listen to the new man, and that will help you grow and learn from this word, from that this word is alive and meaningful, and praise God for this. Thank you.
Thank you, Mike.
So in Life Group on Tuesday night, we were just sharing about some of our experiences with doing the reset, and I just very honestly shared with the girls that I kind of was dreading it some mornings because it felt like, oh, I committed to doing this, now I have to do it. And if my husband wanted to hang out with me because he had to, that would really not bless my heart. And so I knew that it really wasn't blessing the Lord's heart, that I was kind of feeling like that, and so I was discouraged. And then I had woken up in the morning with a song going through my head, and it's a song I don't really particularly like. But the lyrics, I was hearing the lyrics, and then I could hear the tune to the lyrics that were after that. So when I went down to do my reset, I opened up Google and I searched these lyrics, and the part that I couldn't hear was "Your kingdom come, your will be done," just like we had talked about last week in the service. And so that to me was just a blessing because the Lord was still loving me and speaking to me, even though I was feeling like, oh, I kind of have to spend time with you. Not that I always feel like that, but it was the routine of it and the discipline of it. One thing that I brought out of the reset is, oops, as I drop it, prayer journaling again, and that's been a blessing. And yesterday morning, the reset was done, and so I'm like, okay, Lord, well, what now? And I was reading an Elijah List prophecy, and I just wanted to share this little bit with you because it kind of cracked me up. And it was from Monday Martin, I think is his name. And he says, quote, "I felt like the Lord was also saying to those reading this, he is pushing the reset button on many of your lives. He is healing your bodies. He is doing a new thing in your family. Watch the records in the nation being broken and watch it occur in the spiritual. We need to stay in a place of rest in his abiding presence and trust him like never before. Ask the Lord to deliver us from all worry and doubt." So I just thought that was cool that here's a guy who doesn't know that we as a corporate body were doing this, and he is confirming that the Lord is pushing the reset button.
Thanks, Susan. Else?
One of the things that Susan just alluded to was journaling. And one thing that I started doing 2 years ago, and then this whole reset process for me was just confirming that the things that God speaks to us in the secret place, we want to write those things down. Because when God, we meet with God and he shares us those things, a lot of times we forget them, and we will need those words. The things that he shares in the secret place are things meant to be a road sign for us or to be some sort of guidance for us. And I just want to encourage us, as God shows us things, reveals things to us in the secret place or is spoken to us, that we want to write those things down. Because the Bible often talks about writing them down so that you remember them generations after you remember them. And God meets us in the secret place. And God doesn't meet us to just give us something that's just ho-hum, blah, but it's meant to be life-changing. So write those things down that God shares.
Thanks, Kevin.
I just wanted to speak to those of us that aren't morning people. To tell you the truth, the hardest...
aren't morning people, you said. Yeah, okay, yeah. Gotcha.
To tell you the truth, my hardest part of this was falling asleep in the morning. I used to be the type of person that always used to do devotions at the end of the day. And one of the things that I tried to do this reset was do it in the morning. And I would get up early, and like I said, my hardest problem was falling asleep. But I just want to encourage you that if you take time out of your day to spend time with God, He will bless you for that. He'll give you strength to get through the day. And if you think you're too busy to spend time with Him, you're wrong. You take the time to spend with Him, and He will make time for you. So,
Colin, if I could, before you leave, I know I didn't say I was going to ask you questions, but I just, did it get any easier over the 20 days? I mean, because morning, if you're not a morning person, you're not a morning person. But did you see it change at all?
It did, yeah. At the very beginning, it was very tough, but I just had to get into the routine of doing it, and I feel now for the future it'll be a lot easier because I have somewhat of a routine going in the morning.
Right. So. That's helpful. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? Maybe one more yet. You'll have more opportunity, but I want to... Okay. Oh, good, Joe. Our senior statesman is going to speak to us right now, so... I said our senior statesman is going to speak to us.
I'm going to turn this way.
You can turn and face the folks. They want to see your pretty face.
This was 5 good weeks for me. We can always learn more. And one of the things that touched me very much was praying the scriptures. So I thought I'd start with the book of Psalms and take 5 chapters a day. And, of course, after about 5 or 6 days, you get into Psalms 119. That's a gold mine. Yeah. Try it for anybody.
Yeah. All right. Thank you. All right. Thank you, Joe. That was another one of those challenges, praying the scriptures. This book was so rich of all, again, you know, of the 20 days, if there were maybe 2 that God highlighted to you, maybe praying the scriptures was one of them, maybe journaling was one of them, maybe obedience was one of them. But I would encourage you to go back and dwell there a while. You know, so, all right, what I wanted to share just a little bit, the second Sunday of January, it was a Sunday that I wasn't here, Richard spoke that morning, but we handed out little green questionnaires about your prayer habits, like how often you're praying and what some of your biggest challenges are. Do you remember that? Do you remember filling that out? We got a good number of responses. So I just wanted to share the results with you and just make a few comments, you know, as we're having this discussion this morning. So the first question was about frequency. The question was worded before reset, before we started this January focus. Basically, how often have you been praying? And we gave you 4 options. It was either seldom, like as you go, as I go prayers, maybe 2 to 3 times a week, and then the option was either like daily or nearly every day was the 4th option. So just to show you where they came in, the lowest response was this thing of about 2 to 3 times a week, sort of intermittently. There wasn't a lot of response there. The next one was seldom, was fairly low as well. 8 people chose that. I just wanted to make a quick comment on that. Of the 8 people... and some of you may be in the room that checked that. Of the 8 people that checked that, we had a couple other options like why. Why do you pray like very, very irregularly? And of the 8, 7 of them said, or they've checked the box that said, I've tried prayer before, but it didn't really seem to work for me or whatever. I think it was worded something like that. And a challenge I would give to all of us is that if we view prayer as simply a means to produce results or to make something happen, we're not approaching it from the right angle. I mean, both myself and then Rick on week number 2, we really try to stress prayer is first and foremost a relational activity, building intimacy with your Father. I've heard people say to me, yeah, you know, this whole prayer thing, you know, like when I was young, I had a friend that was in a car accident, and they said they were going to die. The doctor said they were going to die, and I cried out to God and said, God, please save their life, and they died. So sometimes in a moment like that, people make a decision about prayer and they say, well, I guess for me it doesn't work. So they kind of give up on it. So I just encourage you, if that is why maybe you've become convinced for one reason or another, you know, I prayed for certain things and they didn't happen, approach prayer as primarily building a relationship. It's primarily building a relationship. That takes time. It takes persistence. God said, you will seek me and you will find me when you seek with all your heart. So it does take time. It takes commitment. Okay, moving on from there then. The next response was, people said, I pray as I go. 23 people selected this option. And Althea, you mentioned that, you know, that you kind of, if prayer is involved in your day, you're not as structured as some people. And in a room this size, there's a whole bunch of you, I guarantee, that say, yes, that's me. I'm not like a structure person. I'm not like a person that fits things in neat boxes. Praying as you go is wonderful. The only challenge I would give to those who check that box is that if that's the only time you pray, if that's the full extent of your prayer life, is just as you go. I'm driving in the car. I think of, oh, yeah, God bless so-and-so. God help my friend today. They have a job interview, that kind of thing. One of the focuses, one of the days, I forget which day it was, but it was simply called Listen. And prayer, it is precious in prayer that when we come to God, but we have some margin. You know what I mean by margin? We have some time margin. We're not rushed right away. And we can maybe meditate on a verse or read a scripture, but then we actually have time just to sit and to try to stay awake and to listen. You know, to listen. God, what are you showing me? What are you saying to me? My concern would be if your only prayer expression is as you go, that might be an element of prayer that you're not enjoying because you don't really have that opportunity. You're always going somewhere. You're kind of slipping in a prayer here, slipping in a prayer there. I would challenge you with that. And then the majority of people, over 44 people responded that they pray. They have a prayer time either nearly every day or every day. I will say this to that group. If by checking that you meant that you pray for at least one meal every day and therefore your prayer is daily, that you were true. You were truthful in your comment. But what we're really going after there is a meaningful time where you set aside to try to connect with the Lord. Okay? So that was the first one. Now, the second question, there was only two questions. The second question was, what are your biggest challenges in your prayer life? Again, we gave you four options: busyness, focus. The value thing was, the option to check was like, I'm not really convinced of the value of prayer. That's one of my challenges. I'm not really convinced of the value of it. And then there was an other box. So the smallest response, two people were very candid and checked the box. They said, I'm not sure that I really am convinced of the value of prayer. Two people checked that. Then the next largest response was other, and people wrote in other things. Those responses tended to go along the line of like time issues, irregular schedule. I fill my time with other activities. I've not been prioritizing prayer. Tired, the fatigue thing. I'm tired when I sit down to pray. It's difficult to connect. A few mentioned, like, I just have a lack of solitude. I have a lack of alone time. Okay, mothers of toddlers, can you identify with that? A lack of alone time or quiet time or space to do this. And then another person said there that they lack faith that prayers are heard. So that was two of the responses. That leaves us with two: busyness and focus. This probably doesn't surprise you that those were the two largest vote getters, okay? By a show of hands, how many of you think the largest response was busyness? How many think it was busyness? By a show of hands, okay? And how many think it was focus? Okay? I think the busyness won in this very informal poll. Here's what actually came in the results. 32 people said that one of their biggest challenges is busyness, okay? Not surprising, right? This was a little more surprising for me. 53 people filling out these responses said that one of, and you could check more than one, I'm pretty sure we had it set up that way, but of the, I think it was 73 people filled out one of these cards. Out of 73, 53 people said that one of their biggest problems is focus. It's just what Colin was saying about, you know, like I fall asleep, I get sleepy or whatever. So I was a little surprised by that. A couple things I hope from that is, number one, if you were absolutely convinced that you were the only sinner in the world that fell asleep while you were praying. Like maybe the enemy convinced you that, oh, see, everybody else at church, oh, they sit down and pray and it's glorious and like 60 minutes, 90 minutes, all day long, it's just fantastic. But what's wrong with me? I fall asleep. This is where we live. Basically 75%, 3 in 4 people responding to this said that one of their biggest challenges is focus, staying focused when they try to pray. So that leads to this question then, and this is, now we go back to testimonies. I'd like a few responses if you have anything you care to share. My question is simply this. Either through this reset time or previously in your life, in your journey with the Lord, what strategies, activities, approaches have you found that helps you stay focused in prayer? It's a simple question, right? Do you have anything you'd like to share with the body? Share with Colin, who this is kind of new to him, and he said, you know, it's getting better. You know, I'm picking on you. Now you're going to wish you weren't that transparent, right? Trust me, though. Trust me. I fall asleep, too. I got to let you know, I do that, too. As I get older, it gets worse. I'm not going to ask for a raise of hands on that. I didn't struggle with this when I was in my 20s. But now that I'm in my 50s, I do struggle more with getting sleepy. So, but I always get sleepy, just ask my family. So does anybody have a word for us on that? What helps you stay focused? I mean, can you just give someone a quick, were you willing to come up, Karen, or do you want me to come to you? Okay, you come up, because I know Mary can't be too mobile over there with her wire, so. Just briefly, and then we have someone waiting there, just what helps you? What helps you in this?
While you were talking, they were all good.
Oh, good. Well, let us have them.
One is conversational prayer. I don't know if you've ever heard of the book called Conversational Prayer by Rosalind Rinker. I went back in the 60s to the Billy Graham Crusades, and they had conversational prayer. And you were saying conversational prayer, just like Ron is talking to you now. He's a representative of the Lord Jesus Christ. I said, well, Lord, I had problems praying too when my kids were young and screaming and hollering and doing all the things they should do and shouldn't do. So then he said to me, well, you're talking to me now. That's conversation. While you're working, while you're cleaning the floor, throw up, whatever. You know, talk to Jesus. That's prayer. And, that was good. What else did I write down here? Speaking out the word out loud and saying to him, well, a lot of you say, well, I'm tired, I'm sleepy. Well, you're standing right here, I'm standing right here, or I'm at home and one of us are sick or whatever's going on. And I say to Jesus, I'm tired because he's here in my heart and he hears me. Make me what you want me to be. And even while I'm tired, you love me anyway. Even when I'm loud and ugly, you love me anyway. That's prayer. And he'll speak to you. And another thing, the communion bit. This morning, the Lord said to me, what do you think you're drinking? My blood inside of me. He's inside of me. I'm drinking his blood, and there's power in the blood. I said, oh, Lord Jesus, make me thirsty. Make you people thirsty. And what's the other one? What can wash away? The blood, and there was something else. Now, wait a minute here. I wrote it down. Oh, prayer with your children. When you're always talking about your kids or acting up or they're sleepy or whatever. I got that Precious Moments Bible, and there's lessons in there. When my kids would throw tantrums and stuff, I said, just go in your room. And I take that I would take that book in that room and let them read it for the what they were doing wrong. And the Lord said, your only requirement is to love your children as I love you, because you are my children. Mm-hmm. And it's going to happen every day. Every day you're on this earth, you're going to go through trials. But he is in the bottom of the boat. He's in the midst of the storm. So keep going, everybody. Thank you, Ron.
Thank you. Thank you.
So one of the sections that I really enjoyed was the chapter about distractions. Mm-hmm. And I would be praying or even reading and thinking about the stuff in the reset, and I start thinking about other things. So I was having difficulty with focus, and I remembered what you, in that chapter, it suggested that you write, if something else comes to your mind, you write it down, then you can set it aside. That does not work for me, because if I write down something, I go, oh yeah, then what am I going to make for dinner? And then I start making lists, and that it didn't work. Okay. So then I remembered what you shared, a suggestion from John about praying out loud. Mm-hmm. So I just did everything out loud. I read the book out loud. I read the Bible out loud. I prayed out loud, and that was the best help.
That
for
helped.
Me.
That helped you.
That helped
okay.
me the most.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Anybody else? Anybody else? Okay. Bev? And then, yeah, come on up, Rebecca.
This is on my list of things to do. I'm 60 years old, and I was sharing with another friend who's 60 years old, and we've been there and done that with little kids. They have 7 kids in their family. They're raised and grown, and we have 6. So we were discussing prayer, and she says that when she walks, gets exercise, because the older we get, the more we like to get exercise, she does a prayer app on her phone. So that's on my list of things to do, a prayer app, and then it goes through different things. And
it kind of leads you through an outline or
so
something.
Yes, okay. That's what I'd like to do.
Okay, very good. Very good. Rebecca?
Like Colin, I have an issue in the morning with staying awake, and also when I would pray, I would think of this, oh, I should pray for that, or I should pray for this, and like Peggy, I'm not good with writing stuff down. And I remembered something God had taught me years ago, is to call it out. Like, there were some distractions I knew were not what God wanted me to pray about, and I realized it was Satan trying to distract me, and he would often succeed really well. And then after the day I realized that, it was every time I would realize my mind would start flying away with something I didn't want to pray about, I would call it out and then deny it in the name of Jesus, and that would often help me really a lot.
And just to be clear, you would physically call, you would speak out loud, you would call something out loud, or just more of
both.
Okay, yeah.
Mainly right. In my mind, but
I'm not saying it needed to be one or the other. I was just, I find this really helpful. I hope it is for you. I love hearing what other people find, but in your mind, you had to make a clear distinction. Okay.
Yes, I would say it out loud when I got really mad and frustrated.
Yeah. Okay. All right. That's good. That's good. Thank you, Rebecca. Donna, do you have something there?
Just putting worship music on in the background has always been very much engaging me to realizing who God is. Going to IHOP, Kansas City is IHOPKC.com. They often just have 24/7 worship and things. And just putting that in the background and just proclaiming what they're saying. And it just allows you, like, you know, some of the songs, you're holy, you know, and then just not even following what the song says, but just explaining to God what you express, what holiness is, and how holy he is, and how wonderful he is, and just engaging that. As your spirit is connecting through the Holy Spirit to the Lord, it just opens up to just such an amazing time with the Lord. Is that worshiping?
Thank you. Okay, a couple more. And then, Nevin, did you have something too then, or did somebody say it already? Okay, well, I'll get to you in just a minute. I'll bring the mic over there. Go ahead, Greg.
I think the what has really affected me the most is the enemy throws the tool of busyness at us, and if he can keep us busy and away from spending time with God, then he's got us for the day. So busyness is... Yeah, I was trained that you got to work, you got to be busy, you don't want to rest, you got to keep on working. And it took me a long time to make that change from being busy to resting at the feet of Jesus. That was a huge change, and it made a profound effect in my life. And God is a creative God. He wants us to be creative in how we handle prayer. For some of you, if early in the morning doesn't work, you know, just ask God, what I want to spend time in prayer. What works best for me? The way God wires us differently. There's different tools. I remember getting our children, at least one of them, where someone reads the Bible from Genesis to Revelation out loud in a dramatic way. So you can just put that in and you can hear the word. And when the word is being proclaimed, the enemy flees. He won't hang around. So the word is powerful. That's what the Bible says. It's a powerful, it's a word of God. And the other thing is when we pray out loud, the enemy flees too. You know, it's powerful to pray out loud. It's powerful to read the word of God out loud. It's just something about hearing it out loud. And the bottom line is we want to go through the day with the presence of God with us. And that happens when we invite him into our life. And scripture that just has hung around with me ever since we began this 20 days, and I mentioned it to Pastor Ron before, Exodus 33, verse 14, and he said, that is the Lord said, my presence shall go with you, and I will give you rest. And then Moses responds, he says to the Lord, if your presence does not go with us, do not lead us up from here. For how then can it be known that I have found favor in your sight, I and your people? Is it not by your going with us, so that I and your people may be distinguished from all the other people who are upon the face of the earth? And so it's the presence of God. It's powerful, and we have God. We already know God is on our side. We just need to live it and recognize that, because the enemy will throw all kinds of tools our way, and we need to speak the word, the truth. If God be for us, who could be against us? So ask God, you know, what works best for me? And then listen. And maybe the first thing won't work. I guarantee you at the house of prayer that we have on Tuesday, no distractions. No distractions. Most people come in and they say, I've never experienced anything like this. So it's no distractions. But what works best for you? Just ask the Lord and be patient, and he'll work with you.
Thanks, Greg. Now, okay, go ahead.
Okay, so I don't really know how to put this into words, but I'm going to try my best. basically, in the past, I've been kind of like, I kind of felt like a ball going down a hill. Like, I was just constantly falling and falling. And, you know, I was never a part of a group like this, and I never really knew how to pray, or if you even had to know how to. But the biggest thing that keeps me going today and keeps me praying is the fact that, you know, I got back up the hill and I started fighting again, and I felt better about myself. And, you know, I wouldn't be where I was without God's guidance, I feel like, because I definitely was in a hard place, and now I have a wonderful family and I have a great, great life, and I feel structured, and I didn't feel that in the past. So the one thing that keeps me focused is the fact that I actually have, you know, things to look forward to, and going home to a family that actually cares and that's there for me. And the people in my life, I say, would honestly, is the reason that I still pray, and that because I have something to see that is good, and like I don't have anything bad to look at this moment in my life, and I wouldn't have got here without praying and without God's help. So I'm really thankful for that.
Great. Thank you. Thank you. Okay, Belinda.
Okay, so this all started out to me. I have a relatively structured prayer life. Some of the things are true in that. But the one thing was, one night I said to the Lord, I said, you know, when I pray, I always give you praise and worship, yada, 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 and I've got this long list of things that I have to pray for, people to pray for. But I said, you know, he said to me, I need you to lie down on the floor. I've got an open heaven in the house, and it's a case of, okay, I'm just going to lie down on the floor, and it's a strange place to live, butt on the top stairs, legs down the stairs, head in the kitchen. Believe it, that's how it was. So I said, you know, I'm just going to lie here. I'm not going to say anything. I'm not going to praise him. I'm not going to worship him. Nothing. 5 minutes, 10 minutes. Here around 15 minutes, I see the Lord takes me in the spirit, and I'm lying on a green pasture, and he's lying next to me laughing, laughing his head off, not saying anything, eyes closed, laughing. And I started laughing for him. You know, we laughed for 30 minutes. Praise God. The word in, where is it, Nehemiah 8:10, it says, the joy of the Lord is my strength. I got my strength back, something that I'd lacked for a while. Also, Psalm 23:2 says, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He had to make me lie down. It was a choice I had to make, but he had to make me lie down. And I just, and there's been a lot of talk here about speaking scriptures out loud. Romans 12:2, I think it is, says that, how do we to wash our minds with the word? And how do we wash our minds other than we hear it? The mind is like a fulcrum. Do we choose the things of God and the Spirit, or do we choose the things of the world? That is how we wash our minds. So it knows what, and the word also says that we to think on his things daily. So we have, you know, it's for me, it's just been a choice. Where am I going?
Thank you. Thank you.
I think one of the things for me was coming to a place that in the scripture it talks about come into my courts with thanksgiving in your heart, come into my courts with praise. And I try to start off because I looked at the different psalms, sometimes David would start out really melancholy and really in a place that he was in a desperation, and he started to thank God for the attributes of God, to thank God for those places. And then you see a shift that takes place in the center of that psalm, and it changes from him focusing on himself to him focusing on who God is in that situation. And that really helps me to start as I go into a place of thankfulness and just simple stuff. I mean, just going, okay, God, you know, just thank you for the air I breathe. Thank you for waking up this morning. Thank you for, you know what I mean? And you just kind of start in that vein, and all of a sudden, the atmosphere shifts, and our prayers shift into the heart and the will of God. Mm-hmm. And personally, I've started doing it in the morning, and it works really well, but I tend to pace and pray out loud. But, you know, my office is all the way in the back of the building. So I kind of have the luxury of shutting the door and locking it and just spending time in prayer there in the morning. And that really helps me, whether it's walking. But I often just stand up and pace and talk to God. Mm-hmm. So that's mine.
Great. Thank you. Nevin, I think you had one yet. And then...
One thing that I kind of wanted to touch base on here, you know, I really enjoy, you know, talking, you know, with my higher power, you know, out loud. But the other thing is, you know, I had to learn to listen, you know. And, you know, not only am I talking if there's something bothering me or whatever, you know, I put it out into the universe, but then I had to learn to listen, you know. And, you know, after a while, you know, like I learned that I really enjoyed, you know, spending that time, you know, and it helped me remain, you know, focused, because by the end of, you know, the half hour, or whatever time that I was spending, you know, like usually whatever was bothering me, you know, I had an answer for it. So, you know, I guess you could say I hear the voices in my head and I answer them too, you know. But, you know, I also like to journal a lot and write down, you know, the succession of you know, my daily prayers or whatever. But
great.
And also God, you know, God hit reset button in our life this week. Yeah. And, you know, I'm thankful. Praise the Lord.
All right. Thank you, Nevin. Thank you. All right. Okay. Thank you. I want to add a comment, maybe just an observation that it hit me this week, and I'm not quite sure why it just kind of hit me out of the blue, because it's such a duh statement. But I was back at the community room Thursday afternoon when we do the Power Pack food program with a school, and Hazel and Barb were there with me, and we were just talking, and all of a sudden it hit me. I'm like, you know, our culture today is saturated with stimulation. Saturated with stimulation. What do you mean by that? Some of the most popular movies are these superhero movies. Have any of you seen? I know obviously a lot of you have seen like the superhero movies, but the special effects in these movies are just amazing. Like buildings are blowing up and monsters are coming up out of the ground and transforming into something else. I mean, it's just so stimulating, like emotionally and mentally. Television shows or even things that have changed in our culture over the last 10 years. You know, on Facebook, it's not just called a message, it's called an instant message. Send someone an instant message. I love texting. I don't do the Facebook thing. I really don't, or very little. I'm not a big fan of Facebook, but I love texting people. Here's the deal, though, with texting. If I send you a text, A, I know your phone is right there in your pocket or probably within a foot of your eyes, and I have every reason to believe that you will see my text within 30 to 60 seconds, right? And sometimes you're shaking your head, no, Rich, you're not going to see it that quickly. And then sometimes I'm like, well, why aren't they responding to my text? You know, I really don't obsess about that, but we have become so accustomed to things happening right now. And does that make sense to you, that it's getting increasingly harder for us to even know how to be still? To even know how. It's like a foreign thing to us to actually be still, be quiet. We're so used to noise, to picture, to video. I've had some of these discussions with my kids. They think I'm a little crazy, but I have concerns about all of the virtual reality stuff that's coming out. You know, the game things that you put on. I've never put one on, and to be really candid, I don't know that I really want to, because when you put one of those on, the graphics are so amazing, you are in a different place. You are no longer playing a game, you are in the game. Or you can put on these virtual reality headsets, and it's like you're climbing a mountain, you're surfing on the waves in Hawaii or whatever. And it's so stimulating, it's so pleasing that you actually feel like you're doing something amazing when what you're actually doing is this. This is what you're actually doing, but your mind feels like you are fighting an epic battle against the forces of darkness, you know? I know I'm in my 50s, I know the young kids are probably looking at me like, man, you just don't get it, Pastor Ron, but there is so much stimulation that I think it's robbing us of even a clue of how to be still. So hopefully, that's something that we are journeying through in this. Hopefully, as people have shared here, you got a pretty quick impression that, you know, there is no right answer. Everyone is different. If this book has not connected with you, and I have heard that comment, one of you wrote that on the green cards, actually two people wrote that, being very candid, I don't really like this book. It's not really connecting with me. That didn't hurt my feelings, not one bit. It's like, yeah, I knew that. This was only a tool that we hope would be helpful. If you're not a book kind of person, God bless you, that's okay. If you're not like a real regimented type of person, that's okay. But I'm encouraging you to find what is the way that you will best connect with God and what is the way that you can train yourself to actually be still. So let's talk briefly as we wrap up here about phase two. Let me go on. I had a question here about fruit, but I think we've heard a bit of those this morning already. So reset phase two. Even before we started this reset in January, as elders, the elder team, we were already saying, but what happens when it comes to the end? Like, we don't want people just to stop. So we said, well, let's come up with something that'll be a phase two. And I give you a hint, there might even be a phase three in the works, but we're not going to worry about that yet. We're going to concentrate on phase two today. This is phase two. Okay. So this was phase one, professionally printed by an author, you know, a whole book with all these pages. This is phase two. It's just a sheet of cardstock for you. So it's 20 days. If you just want to pull it out and take a look at it, you should have gotten this insert. We followed the same pattern we were using in this reset, where we're encouraging you Monday through Friday, to look at the verses that are on here. We don't include Saturday and Sunday. That gives you an opportunity to just reflect on what God was saying to you through the 5 days. So we have the dates on here starting January 29th, which is tomorrow, running through February 23rd, which would be the conclusion of the 4 weeks. Every day has three scripture passages. It has, and the three scripture passages are from three distinct themes. As you see at the top, the first passage that we have listed each day is a passage of praise. It's a statement of praise to God. The second one is a passage of challenge. This is something to be pondered, something to be obeyed, something to let God really impress on us, a challenge. And then the third category is a scripture of promise. In some cases, the challenge and promise are in the same verse or are in subsequent verses. You know, there's a lot of places in the Bible that says where we're commanded to do this, and then God will do this. The challenge is followed with a promise. Not all of them are linked, but some of them are. The other thing we did with this is I kept all of the scriptures on one day from the same general area of the Bible, but you'll notice that one day will be coming from the Psalms, the next day is coming from the Gospels, and the following day is coming from the Epistles. That's a rhythm that Bob Sorge talked about in his book. So that pattern repeats as we go down through. So you'll see that there's... Say, well, okay, I read three scriptures, and then what? That takes like a minute. Then what do I do? We have several suggestions on here. I'll just comment on them briefly. The first one is simply just to take one, two, three of the verses, whatever God is impressing on you in that moment, take that verse and meditate. Now, I know that's kind of a mysterious word to some of us, but the word meditate to me simply means slow down and think deeply. Think deeply. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Wonderful, I'm good to go. No. You know, you could spend months on that sentence I just said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, if you really wanted to go deeper and deeper. And there's so much in there, and many Bible verses are like that. So meditate. Think deeply, taking time. Here is a very practical suggestion I got years ago on a method of meditation that was very easy for me. I just said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, right? You take a passage of scripture and you repeat it, emphasizing a different word every time. Here's what I mean. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord. The Lord, the God of heaven, the sovereign Lord of the universe, the Lord. That's who we're talking about here. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is, I don't get a lot out of emphasizing the word is, but the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. You see where this is going, right? He's my shepherd. This is written to me. I'm reading this personally. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. And you think about a shepherd and the work that a shepherd does and the care. And then even things like this, contrast words. Like in that particular verse, if you take the word Lord, sovereign God of the universe, and the word shepherd, they are two totally different things. Totally different. But David is writing them about God himself. He is Lord, and he is also my shepherd. Then you go on through. That's just a simple example. Keeping going here. I know we're getting late here. Another thing is to write. Henry, where are we at? Over here. Henry, if you could come up. I asked Henry to share something about this. This was a chapter in one of the reset pages, or one of the reset in the book. And Henry shared with me some time ago a practice he started a while ago, and it actually came out of a devotional thing we did here at Living Hope years ago. So I just asked him to share some more specifics about that.
Okay, as a minister, obviously I would read God's word and preparing for a sermon and teaching, meditate on that. But I always felt like I wanted to do spend more time in the Word, but over the years I would kind of struggle, like it just didn't seem to really flow. So 7 years ago, January 2011, I found this. Pastor Ron gave out this paper called First Month, First Love, Prayer and Study Guide. And in this, there was a New Testament scripture and an Old Testament scripture for every day. And he suggested that we read, meditate, and to write. And I took that seriously, and I began to write in a journal, write down the scripture, and then just reflect on that scripture. And at the end of 30 days, I thought, wow, this is what I've been looking for. And it was so valuable that I thought, I'm at the finish line, but I'm ready to start something else. And so from that day to this day, after 7 years, it's been a regular routine. I just have a notebook, something like this, and I write a scripture, and then I just reflect on it. Sometimes it's a page, sometimes it's more than a page, sometimes less than a page. But I have found this to be so valuable, so helpful. I have many, many notebooks filled with this that God has revealed. And so I just encourage you, Brother Joe shared here this morning about Psalm 119. It's the longest chapter in the Bible. It's at the middle of the Word of God. And I remember using Psalm 119, just spending, I think, 2 or 3 months just meditating on Psalm 119. Sometimes I take a theme. Actually, back in September, I started the theme, Pursuing God's Presence, and then we came to that theme here at church. Take a subject, go to the commentary or go to the Google and look up all verses on a subject, and that becomes like a guide then for me each day. So I just want to encourage you, if you're really wanting to get more into the Word, it's a wonderful way of just writing a script or reading the scripture, writing it down, and then writing what God gives to you.
Yeah, okay. Thank you, Henry. Thank you so much. In connection to that, you might have noticed up here at the front of the stage, we have a few, we don't have a lot, a little over 20, I think. This is a very simple, inexpensive journal. And if you would like to venture into this, something like Henry just described, journaling, if you don't have one of these at home, and I think probably many of you do, but if you don't have anything at home to use and you would like to take one of these, you're free to do so. Like I say, we don't have a lot of them, but if you would like to do this, you would like to experiment with journaling, this is just a very simple, inexpensive journal. If you go to a store, you can buy a journal for a few dollars, and you can buy a journal for quite a few more dollars. It depends, you know, journals can be very expensive depending how you like them to be. But anyway, that's available for you. I was going to mention one other thing just very briefly, and I promise we're just about finished. Something that I have found meaningful, and I read this years ago, and I've done it for years. I brought along my old Bible this morning. I don't usually carry this back and forth to church because it's getting pretty beat up. I have really enjoyed highlighting my Bible. And I read somewhere, you know, if you use different colors to highlight different themes, all I have to do is I open this book, here's an orange verse. That means it's a challenge. I have no idea what this is, but I'm going to read it to you. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. For in the grave where you are going, there is neither working nor planning nor knowledge nor wisdom. That's a good challenge, right? I just opened my Bible and found this orange verse. And in my color scheme, orange is a challenge. When I created this week, I did not use Google. I did not use a Bible concordance or anything. All I did was I found this Bible. And I'm doing it in my current Bible. It's just this one's a bit more developed. All I did was I took this Bible and I looked for yellow verses. They're promise verses. I looked for orange verses. They're challenge verses. You see what I mean? I found that very meaningful and very helpful because whenever I turn to a scripture, you know, I see, you know, here's a promise. I knew that you were a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love. There's a promise because I have it highlighted with that color. So I have my Bible here. If you want to look at it afterwards or talk to me more about that, I'd be happy to do that. Just another possibility. For this writing thing. Another suggestion we're making is to read more. And what I mean by that is if you find one of these passages, it's usually like one or two verses, that really catches your attention, well, then read the verses before it and after it. Like, read the whole chapter. Let God show you more about it than just the little snippet that we put in for that day. Okay? That's pretty simple. Just read more. And then Joe said this when he said about praying the scripture, take the verse that we have, or two of them, or three of them, or whatever, and pray them. Something like, God, you are my shepherd. The word says, you are my shepherd. I'm just amazed. I'm so blessed by the fact that you, the sovereign God of the universe, are aware of me to the level that a shepherd is aware of their sheep. You know, I'm just kind of making this up as I go here, but you can pray the scripture. Most scriptures are pretty easy to just fold into a prayer, and that's another way of going deeper with the few passages that are on here. Okay, so that's phase two. So we sent out this by email today. You may have already seen it. If you talk to someone who wasn't here, hey, what's going on? What's happening? Hopefully everybody will be seeing this. Again, if you're not getting our emails, go back to that connection card, fill it out so you start getting our emails. But we emailed this out. So if you weren't here, or if you're listening on the podcast, look for it on an email and you can print out the same reading guide. All right, I just want to finish with a challenge. Just a couple minutes yet. Remember this, remember these responses, right? The biggest challenge people said was focus. But there were a number of people, 32, that said that busyness was their issue. And God challenged me with something very uncomfortable this week. And you know how this works, right? When God challenges me with something uncomfortable, then I get to challenge you with something uncomfortable. If you don't like it, blame it on God. That's how this works, right? That's how this works. This is what he challenged me with. It has to do with these two responses. Only two people said that they questioned the value of prayer, but yet 32 people said that they struggle with busyness. Here is what God challenged me with. I'll demonstrate it for you, and then I will describe it. God's question is this. If we are too busy to pray, is that not, at the same time, the statement of we don't value prayer? Now, I don't like that either. I want to defend that. No, I totally value prayer. I totally value prayer. It's just I'm too busy right now. Isn't this really the same thing? Isn't this like saying prayer is valuable, but not valuable enough to get space in my schedule? Or even is it saying prayer is valuable, but less valuable than everything else I do? Man, that's uncomfortable, correct? Prayer is valuable, yes, absolutely, prayer is valuable, but it's actually less valuable than everything else I do because I don't have time for it. That's what God is challenging us with this morning. So, hey, I get it, we're busy. Our society just keeps getting busier and busier and busier. And the problem with all of this instant communication is people expect things done right away, get to it right away. If we value prayer, we must figure out how it gets woven in to all the other stuff. Because if we're unwilling to do that, and I really think it's more unwilling than unable. Again, that feels a little uncomfortable, but I think it's really a willingness issue, not an ability issue. I think that's where the rubber meets the road here. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this wonderful experience that we've had together as a congregation for this month of January and just receiving the challenges from this particular author and this particular book. But God, at the end of the day, it's about each person here making new commitments and greater commitments to spend time with you, to find however it is for them. I realize a block of time for some people may seem virtually impossible, but God, it's not about the specific arrangement, it's just about our pursuit of a love relationship with you, our pursuit of intimacy with you. So God, we receive that challenge from you this morning about how much we value prayer by the way we approach it, and by the time we make or don't make for it. So God, we just pray that you would speak to us about that. I'm going to invite you all to stand. Let's just ask this together. God, we're standing before you as one small congregation of people. God, I pray and I believe that there's a lot of agreement in the room when I pray, would you make us more and more a people of prayer? God, could it even get to the point where Living Hope would be known primarily for its prayer? God, that seems, I get it, in our North American culture, prayer is often one of those little things that gets tucked in a corner somewhere. God, can you release us from that? Holy Spirit, can you give us the creativity and the willpower and the commitment to make prayer a much more significant part of our life than it is? Prayer, time with you, time in your word, meditating on the word, because God, we know that that will be so life-changing. I thank you for these testimonies this morning. Continue to walk with us on this journey, God. I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right. Thanks so much for being with us. I trust this was helpful in a practical way for you this morning. If you'd like to take one of these one of these journals, you're free to do that. And God bless you. Have a wonderful day.